You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Happy Thursday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. According to my handy-dandy pocket calendar, it's time to get an update on the Bell City that's also known as Racine with Mayor Corey Mason. He stops by the Don Rosen Show once a month to give us all an update on what's happening in the city, including business openings and back-to-school information, because it's September. That means the kids are heading back to class. So he has some news for us, and he talked to Don this past week about all the great things happening in Racine.
You went to a couple of ribbon cutting ceremonies.
Yeah,
it's How'd you do that with one hand?
I did not do the scissors. The superintendent did, thankfully.
Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so it was great. There were three of them yesterday. And this is sort of part of, people might remember that 2020 referendum for the school district that passed by a landslide of five votes, right? Every vote matters. Tens of thousands of votes cast, and it passed by five. So thank you to the voters that made that happen. But that has allowed us to build, you know, there's a new Red Apple School being built where Walden once was at 10th and Center. But yesterday we cut the ribbon on renovations that were made to Horlick High School. You know, it's a 1928 building that hadn't been updated ever until we did that. So they were able to put in new facilities and new equipment. And SC Johnson School looks, you know, completely different on the inside. And they added a gym and added some space there and able to put in some extra art space and learning space for the kids. That was just great. And then Mitchell Middle School had a real facelift done, an expanded gym, and again, new classroom space. And, you know, those buildings were built in the 1930s. So some of these buildings really haven't had updates in almost a century. And just to see how excited the faculty are, the staff are, but as importantly, the students and their parents about, you know, what it is to be able to go into a building where they've got new facilities and, you know, new computer equipment and, you know, new STEM room and other places for kids to learn. Really, really exciting stuff. And it ensures that those buildings will last for another, you know, 50 years so that we can keep educating kids there. So it was a really rewarding thing to see our schools being updated that way, and really grateful to have been part of helping to pass that referendum.
Now, you said where the Walden School was. It's not there anymore, huh?
No. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a completely new building that is up there.
Whoa, where was I? Was I in a coma when this happened?
Yeah, so that building was one of the oldest buildings in the city. It was built before the Civil War.
Whoa.
In 1854. Somebody pondered that it might be the oldest flush toilet in the city. We were never able to confirm that. But I mean, it had been there for a long time. And the newer part was built in the 19-teens. But it had outlived its usefulness as a building. It just became so in disrepair. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a building. They're doing the interior now, but the exterior of it is done. And so if you drive by there, you'll see a brand new building that's gone up.
Now, is the Jane School still in operation?
It is not. So there's a few.
I live a block away, yep. And I was wondering because I saw all these construction trucks there and kids.
Yeah. So Jane School, the old Red Apple, and Winslow School, sort of over by 14th Street there. Those are all properties that'll be ceded over to the city for redevelopment. So by the end of this year, we'll begin to look at if those could be transitioned into housing or some other useful purpose. They're beautiful old buildings, right? I mean, just the architecture.
And they just renovated the Jane School not too long ago. They put a new thing, that little cone thing they have on top of the steeple, whatever it is.
So they keep the buildings in good repair. So, you know, I mean, sometimes you get these old buildings that are just in such disrepair where it's just like, oh, there's no, like it's got a beautiful facade, but it's so far gone. You just can't imagine doing anything next with it. With the school district, you know, because we've had school children in there all these years, the buildings are, you know, the roofs are tight, the windows are tight. It's in a good state of repair. So we're looking forward to the opportunities to transition that into possible housing moving forward.
I feel bad. I live only a block or so from the Jane School, and I love looking at it when I go home and, you know, wake up in the morning and I go.
I can't imagine.
It's a beautiful building.
The facade of it is amazing.
Yeah. Inside, no good.
Well, it's harder to make. I mean, they're The inside of it's choppier than you might think.
Did the kids have to shovel coal in the winter to get Was that it?
I think there might have been a time when that might have been actually the case. And the older part there was also built before the Civil War, right? So it's a really old building. But, you know, they don't make walls that thick anymore. They don't put that kind of design feature into it. It is, I mean, if you're heading south on Main Street from downtown, it is the facade of that building. And that turret that you see there.
What do you call a turret? Yeah.
Yeah. That is, it's a real part of the view shed from the downtown. Hate to lose that, right? I mean, it's a really great piece. Now, the addition that they put on in the 70s, I'm less attached to that. It's kind of a shoebox that they added on there. But the historic part of it is just really a beautiful piece.
Oh, my wife said to me, she says, I don't think that school's open anymore.
Yeah.
Because they have all these trucks and trailers on the property. And no kids. Right. And I used to see the kids playing there all the time. Yeah. And they're not there. Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, you may have seen. So Gerstead added an elementary school. So they're now a K-8. And so you got kids going over there now. Geezy came down as well. So that's another school.
Really?
Yeah. So if you drive by there, it's an empty field. So if you
go knock down the YMCA, you're knocking down the schools. You knocked down the YMCA.
I did knock down the YMCA personally. I got to take the first swing. But that and then Roosevelt School will also come down pretty soon. So it's just a different. They're going to more of a K-8 model in some of these places. Red Apple will become a K-8. So that's a
no more middle school.
Now, there's some standalone middle schools that are still there, and Walden is still a 6 through 12, so there's a little bit of a blended there. But I'm trying to think, is there any standalone just middle schools left? You may be right. There may not be anymore. You'd have to ask the school district that for certainty.
That entire interview is available by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show and find the episode entitled Cutting Ribbons with Mayor Mason. You can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around because in the coming hour at 7:35, Pat's going to be talking to Representative Mark Pocan about all the things happening in his district as well as in Washington. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I am back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning, right now. One of our missions here at Civic Media is to bring you the most up-to-date, accurate news from your community, which we can do by turning to local news sources, one of them being the Racine County Eye. Their founder and owner, Denise Lockwood, stopped by the Don Rosen Show to talk about not only what's going on with the Eye, but all the amazing expansions they're doing with new offices and new programming.
How are things going in Racine County, Eye? Good?
Fabulous. Now, fabulous.
You got new offices.
I am so excited. So excited.
Where are the offices?
So, the old Horlick Malted Milk factory right across the street from Sacred Heart.
Yeah, there's coffee shops there and everything now.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to be right next to the coffee shop, the Inclusive Bean. The address is 1926. I can say that officially because I signed the lease. It's a little on the scary side, but we're fine. We're fine. So we're going to have half of the second floor the space is really interesting. This is the old machine shop. And I love walking back in there and you just feel the energy of the time period of which that was built. There's cobblestones. The buildings are big and old, but they've all been rehabbed and Bell City Square is what it's called now. But we have that that lease. And basically half of the space is going to be, it's a very large space for our tiny little newsroom. So it's about 1900 square feet and half of it is going to be our newsroom. The other half is going to be called the Thought Collective. And we are going to host a lot of thought leadership projects around there, a lot of events that we're going to do some live podcasting. I really want to bring people together that can meet newsmakers, right? So we put a lot of energy into writing news. And I thought, you know what? Why am I in the way? Why don't we get these folks together and really like really solve some of these issues that we have so that we can have better policy making and a better community? And that's really what I think the soul of Racine and Racine County needs right now.
So high school sports, huge. We have high yes. school sports on here. Dick Graceffa does our basketball and football. You're branching out to do a whole high school sports section now.
Correct.
On Racine County. So why don't you talk about that?
So exciting about that as well. So our good friend, Matt Hardesty, he is kind of spearheading that. And he was with the Journal Times and he came over to Racine County. I also have Nick Payne Jr. and Rob Luhr, who used to also be with the JT. He was doing some on again. Like he does some special projects. He's not like going to be consistent, but he's consistently going to be covering golf. So I'm super jacked about that because nobody else on the face of the earth wants me writing about sports because I, as my husband likes to remind me, root for the wrong team.
You do?
I do sometimes. I'm horrible.
So
I'm
what
horrible.
I have to do is go to the betting tables in Vegas, the sports bet, find out who you think is going to win, and bet the other team.
There you go. There you go.
And I'll make a fortune.
No, sports writing is a very different type of journalism. And so there is a nuance to it that I do not own. And I own that part of me.
But you had to find someone
exactly.
who did own it.
Right. Right.
And that's all you got to do. Find the right people.
Exactly.
You don't have to do everything yourself. It's just find the right people to do it. We're very lucky here to have Mike Clemens, who lives and breathes sports. And he's got ins with the Packers and the Brewers and the Badgers, where he can get in there.
Right.
He knows the coaches. He knows the managers. So he's in on all these things. So he gets
well,
right up front.
Somebody should yeah. be, because Denise isn't going to do it.
So what the sports, and now Racine County Eye is at racinecountyeye.com. That's Racine, yep. Spell out the word county, E-Y-E, with everything I these days, iPhone, iTech. You got to remember it's actually spelled out, E-Y-E.com. You can find everything, the sports, everything, the news, everything's right there.
It's true.
I know, because I have it bookmarked on my phone.
I love this for us.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I got a bookmark.
I love, you know what I love about the what's going on in media is that collaboration. And that's the juice that we really need, especially since, you know, this is a hard business, Don Rosen. It's darn hard to do this work. And so being able to collaborate with you guys and with TMJ4 and WGTD, all of that helps elevate the work that we're doing. And I'm so grateful that we have the capacity
you know, and,
to be
and Stuart,
on.
When he does the news, he doesn't have 20 minutes to describe a story. He's
right.
got a few seconds. He'll give you the news headlines. And he always says, for a more in-depth look, go to Racine County.
I have more real estate.
Because you guys have all the time in the world, because it's online, where he doesn't have it. He's got a few seconds, because we got to get back to playing the Rolling Stones. We don't have time.
I know. But details matter, dude. But I want to go back to some of the other things that we're going to have. So just to kind of give a little flavor of some of the events that we're having, we're actually going to be doing a whole series called Made in Racine. And it's all going to be about elevating historical stories about things and people that were made in Racine. And we're going to be doing some live podcasting. The first one is called Haunted Racine. In November is Makers and Mavericks. And in December, we're hosting a podcast called A Very Racine Holiday.
You know, we had a guest on our show, Rory Graves.
I just heard about
who
her.
Who wrote the book Haunted Racine. And if you go to our lobby, you'll see the first place award from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. It was my interview with Rory Graves.
Really?
And we won first place in the entire state
Big thanks to Denise Lockwood for stopping by the Don Rosen Show to talk to him about everything going on with the Racine County Eye. Also, the great shout outs to Mike Clemens and Stuart Waddles, who are two of our reporters here at Civic Media. And you can read more about what they write at civicmedia.us/news. You can also get our news updates by getting the Civic Media app in your life. Download it directly to your device and you can customize it to your region, to what you like to read about, as well as listen to live radio. It's just that simple. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Though Monday was Labor Day and pretty much everyone had off, it's important to always remember the history of that day in this state, in this country, and the people who fought so hard and why they did it in the first place. And I spoke to Professor John Shelton. He is the chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and he's also the president of AFT Wisconsin. He talked to me about his experiences this year at Labor Fest, including the things he is hearing from those on the ground who are doing the work, organizing, as well as being represented in their unions across the region. We also took a moment to remember that we are all connected as workers, and we have more that connects us than divides us. We should never forget it, so we can fight together to fight forward. And something, sir, that when I spoke to my friend Kristen Lighty, who is an organizer up in Green Bay, about is, you know, when we think of the unions, we think of, you know, the union job, you know, representing the workers. But when you first started talking about the goals that you sought through a candidate for the 2026 election, it's not just about unions. It's about social justice. It's about equality. It's about all these other things. And that's, to me, I think part of the union discussion that we don't really cover a lot is how much the unions care about those issues, as well as, you know, the rights of workers. It's about equality, equity for the people in this country beyond the unions. It's for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's this kind of classic way of looking at labor unions, right? Which is like that unions can either support what are so-called bread and butter issues, mm-hmm. or other issues, right? And that somehow it's like problematic if, you know, unions, you know, look beyond issues that are, you know, not sort of directly related to the concerns of immediate like pocketbook concerns of workers. But the reality is that, you know, unions are always stronger when they have a broader community to rely on and to work with and to build the kind of world where everybody is included. You know, because one of the things that the right tries to do, and this has obviously been magnified a lot with the authoritarian in the White House and the party of authoritarianism, is they want to divide us, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that allows them to be successful, and you've seen it, right? They've successfully divided the working people of this country, is to divide people around cultural issues, around race, around gender, around gender identity and sexual orientation. And you know what the labor movement does when it's at its best is it says we reject that, we will not allow you to do that, and we will have solidarity with each other. Mm-hmm. And you know the text that you got or email you got about immigrants, right? It's not just that they're doing all those things, paying taxes, et cetera. They're fellow workers, mm-hmm. right? And so whether you're working at a university or you're running a radio show or you're the producer of this radio show like Calvin. Sorry, I'll just call him out, or anybody else, or you're milking cows on a dairy farm. Like, yeah. We're all workers, right? And that's what binds us together. And when you can fight for things like racial justice and gender equity, and you know, to include our trans brothers, sisters, and other siblings in what we do, that actually strengthens the labor movement, right? It's not a distraction. It's mm-hmm. what we are. And so how can we possibly have a conversation about building the state that we deserve and that all of our members deserve and that our students deserve and that our clients deserve, right? How can we do that if we're not committed to those things?
And in the last few minutes that we have, I wanted to take that just a little step further too, is about, you know, is that the divide is also can be, you know, geographical. And I'm not talking about Los Angeles versus, you know, small town America. I'm talking about, you know, someone who lives in Milwaukee versus someone who lives in Hayward, Wisconsin, farmers, and how the unions can affect them and help them, because it's not just about the workers in the factories. As you said, we're all workers, and making them understand that we're here for you as well, and that this attempt to divide it shouldn't work, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But again, like look at how Trump has done this, right? I mean, like I believe it was the vice president, right? Who basically said maybe we'll go into Milwaukee,
yeah,
now, right?
Yeah.
And that's by design, right? Yeah. They're going after Democratic cities and in places. I was just talking to somebody about why Chicago, and I just realized the answer, right? Chicago, Milwaukee, these are big blue urban enclaves in the middle of cities or in states where you have, you know, urban rural divides, right? Yeah. And so what Trump is trying to do is to purposely, whether he's doing it intentionally or not, is to drive that wedge between people. And the reality is, you know, when we let authoritarians and billionaires try to dictate our lives, and by the way, they won't stop until they have everything, right? Mm-hmm. They don't just want most of it, they want all of it.
Yeah.
You know, that affects that farmer. You know, when you have agricultural companies, you know, having CAFOs and tainting the water and making it difficult for small dairy farmers to operate. And I think that is a mistake we've made a little bit in the labor movement, is not being attentive enough to that. And I think we need to be. We need to be thinking about how this, you know, building a big tent where we can all talk about each other's issues, but really unified around the idea that you have billionaires trying to basically take our livelihoods. And as far as I can remember, we fought a revolution over the idea that people with a concentration of power could dictate our lives.
If you'd like to listen to that entire interview with Professor John Shelton, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Matinee on Air tab and find the episode entitled We Are All Workers. You can download it and listen to it on your device anytime, anywhere you like. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. And remember, you can always download our shows as podcasts. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, look up Civic Media, and you'll have a whole host of programs to choose from. And that way you can just listen to us whenever you'd like, as new episodes are available. Stick around, because after the news break, Pat's going to be welcoming Brittany Merlot with the weather, Chad Holmes with his update in Wausau, and he'll be talking to political consultant Joe Sopecki. So stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. I love music, you love music, and we've all had that same thought in our head. What if I could play an instrument? What if I could be in a band? Well, there's a group that can help with that. They're called Girls Rock, and Maggie Dawn sat down with them to talk about what they do, how they empower young women through music, and through their camp, get women together, get them a band name, get them the instruments, and help them write songs to perform out in a show right in Milwaukee. In fact, this episode of Maggie's show took place at the Cactus Club, which we all know is in Bayview in wonderful Milwaukee.
Let's get into the fun stuff. I am so excited to have with me the lady who founded this organization, keeps it running on a shoestring, and helps give girls the chance to rock out. Her name is Mary Joy Hickey. She's the executive director of Girls and Ladies Rock. Welcome to the show, Mary Joy. It's so nice to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie.
Okay, so how did this all come to be? When did Girls Rock start? Who helped get all of this going in addition to you? And what's your purpose?
Sure. So I do need to clarify that I was not the founder of Girls Rock Milwaukee itself.
Okay.
This organization was actually founded back in, the kickoff meeting was on December 12th, 2012, a very memorable day.
Yes.
And that was with Val Lux and Ashley Smith. Val is from Pie Inc. Restaurant Group, so runs Honey Pie, Palomino, Comet Cafe.
You mean Palomino right down the street from the Cactus Club here on the near south side? Yes, I love all of her spots.
Yes, like right next door. And then Ashley Smith, who's the owner of the Live and Fine shop in Bayview here.
Very nice.
So they had a kind of a call for interest that December evening. And the summer of 2013 was when the first Girls Rock Camp happened. I remember going to the showcase and just like crying, just tears streaming down my face. It was so powerful. And so there was
What about it made you cry, Mary Joy?
I think because music had been so important to me in my journey, especially as a youth growing up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, is where I grew up. And music just was always my thing. And it was such, it was what really saved me, I think, as a kid. It provided a sense of confidence. It provided a sense of belonging, and to see that being nurtured and those opportunities created in a way that I didn't have access to growing up in Stevens Point, it was really powerful. And also as powerful was the parents that were reacting of like, I wish this had been around when I was a kid, and the other attendees. So I was one of the co-founders of the Ladies Rock Camp, which then kicked off. Planning happened throughout 2014, and then we had our first camp in January of 2015.
So this has been going on now for Ladies Rock 10 years, and 10 years. For Girls Rock, I don't want to do math on the air, I think 17 and a half-ish, 18. We'll just call it 18. Did I do the math? I'm not doing the math right.
I think
right.
It's 12. Yeah,
it's our 12th camp season. I just added 5 in there. Yeah, again, math
keep
on
it going.
The radio.
Five more.
Yes, 5 more. So what is the fundamental driving theory or idea or value or mission that you're trying to accomplish with both Girls and Ladies Rock?
That it's okay to be yourself and to take up space and to use your voice, and that you can learn things and you can collaborate. There's a lot of, I think, leadership development that happens when you have to negotiate a creative project where there's no right answer. This is not like a math question that, you know, that there's a specific way to solve it. You're coming in and you're learning how to channel what your creative perspective is in collaboration with others, and working through the conflict of that, working through the mutual shared decision making, and then not just only for the artistic sake of it, but also for the performance aspect of getting up and doing something brave, something that's hard, something that scares you so much. But then once you do it, it's exhilarating. And if you can do that, what else can you do in your life?
I love that so much there. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a real special show for you all this afternoon. I'm here at the Cactus Club on Milwaukee's near south side. We're celebrating women in music, specifically through an organization that's been around for nearly 15 years. That's the safe calculation. Girls and Ladies Rock. We've got bands here this afternoon. You're going to hear some of their original music. And I'm sitting here with their executive director, Mary Joy Hickey. Of course, a couple of things that I wanted to lift up there, Mary Joy. The first one was the idea of collaborating and sharing ideas and deciding how to proceed when there's no clear answer. Every single manager or business owner out there, anybody who has worked on a team at work, knows that is the dominant framework that we have to move through life. People have different ideas, and we've got to be able to talk about them, weigh pros and cons, maybe try them out, and be flexible, and then work with other people in collaboration. So much more valuable, I think, to do that in a creative and fun enterprise than it might be to learn the right or wrong answer on a test. I love that. And to take up space to be yourself. Tell us a little bit about the band that we're going to hear from in just a few short minutes here. The ladies' names, the young girls' names, and their style of music, and a little bit about the camp that they were just at.
Yeah, so the Girls Rock Camp band that you're going to hear shortly, they're called Concentration 64, and they formed at our Session 1 camp that happened earlier this summer. We have 2 camp weeks currently, so it's a week long where you come to camp, you are assigned an instrument, you go to instrument instruction, you form a band, you write a song. That's the goal of your camp week, is to write an original song with your band, and then they perform it at a public showcase on the Sunday after the camp week. So for session one that happened back on July 20th at Vivarium on the east side.
Love Vivarium. Great new venue.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the next few days, I'm going to play more of this interview with Maggie Dawn, with Girls Rock, the band members who play, and you can also listen to the entire thing by going to civicmedia.us/shows. This way you can download those episodes directly to your device, listen to them anytime, anywhere, and you can hear some great original songs as well. Once again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Thursday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.